the nature of motherhood. There is application to be made for each of us. Let me make that statement again. In the nature of motherhood, there is application for each of us. That is to say, whether you are a mother, a father, a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, a Christian, an adult, a senior adult, if each of us would possess the attitude and the kindness that a mother has toward her children, we would each make a much greater impression on other people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul told the church at Thessalonica, when we came to you, we came to you in kindness as a mother caring for her little children. Did you hear that? Paul said, when we first came to Thessalonica, we didn't come all high and mighty to you. We didn't come into town, look at us, we're all that. He said, we came to you in the kindness and in the care of that of a mother tending to her little children. I said, in the nature of motherhood, there is application for all of us. Eunice, whom we spoke of this morning, Eunice was raised in a godly home by a Christian mother named Lois. Eunice then married a man who had very little interest or no interest at all in religion. To Eunice and her husband, there was born a son, Timothy. And it was left to Eunice, and it fell upon Eunice, Timothy's mother, to instruct him in the training and in the way that God would have him to live. I want to share with you, realizing that this will be application for all of us, I want to share with you three things tonight about Lois, Timothy's grandmother, and Eunice, Timothy's mother, and how these two were able to have such an impression upon the life of Timothy. Now, we looked at all three of these this morning, but tonight we're going to get to some things that we didn't get to in the way I wanted to get to them. Lois and Eunice greatly impressed on the life of Timothy certain things, and the things they impressed upon him is what made him the man that he became, that some 2,000 years later, we're still talking about Timothy. Three things they did. Number one, Lois and Eunice had a great respect for the scripture. His grandmother and his mother had a great respect for the scripture. Now let me ask you something. Mom, dad, grandparent, elder, preacher, teacher, deacon, do other people sense in you a respect for the scripture? Because you do. You do. When if I'm around somebody for 10 minutes, I can sense in them, if it's there, I can just sense in them, this person has a deep respect for the scripture. Can't you do that? Do others sense in you this respect for the scripture? Now, turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 12 and read down through verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Verse 13. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, now this is Paul directing to Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, let's dissect this a little bit. Verse 12. He says, in fact, everyone. Now, he's going to put a finer point on the focus of who he means by everyone. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus. So in the verse, everyone applies to everyone who is in Christ. So the everyone of verse 12 is everyone who is a Christian. Everyone who is in Christ will suffer persecution. Now, brethren, listen to me. We should not think of it as strange when we suffer. We should not think that that is strange. Jesus Christ was perfect, and they nailed him to a cross. Jesus Christ never wronged anybody. He never said anything wrong. He never did anything wrong. He never wronged anybody, and they crucified him. They persecuted him and then murdered him. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this, From the moment of his conversion, every moment after that, until the moment he died, he was committed to Jesus Christ. And yet, you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read his category of persecution, it's astounding. The Old Testament prophets, all of them persecuted. The whole book of Revelation revolves around this theme of persecuting and how those Christians at the end of the first century were being slaughtered by the Roman Empire. Listen, James tells us in James 1 verses 2 through 4, that when the trials of life are set upon us, we are to take joy in that. Now, we're not happy because we're suffering. That's sadistic. We are happy because in this suffering and in this persecution, God is going to work to use our enemy's persecution on us to make our faith greater, more precious, and more genuine. Thank God for that. And what strengthens your faith is a blessing, even if it hurts. Verse 13. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen to me. Things aren't going to get better, they're going to get worse. Why do you know that? I just read it. Now, why? Listen. Evil people will always persecute good people. You say, now why is that the case? Here's why that is the case. Because evil people allow themselves to be led around by the devil. And anybody who allows themselves to be led around by the devil is not going to become more godly. They're going to become more godless. Now watch what happens here, verse 14. We're getting to respect for the scripture. Verse 14. Paul says, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned. That is, remain in what you've learned. Timothy, abide, stay in what you have learned. Why? Because you know who you have learned it from. Brethren, listen to me. We have got to continue in the word that we have learned. We must continue. That is, we must remain in it. That is, we must abide. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 31, you are, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. But you got to stay there. Now watch verse 15, he brings it together. He says, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise through faith in Christ Jesus. Now listen carefully to me. Timothy had been taught the scriptures a long time before the Apostle Paul ever walked into the city limits of Lystra. Did you hear what I said? Timothy had been, he was being taught this from his childhood, from his infancy. A long time before Paul ever walked into the city, Timothy was being taught the scripture. Now here's what I'm telling you, that Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and Timothy's mother, Eunice, they had a respect for the word of God, and they, as his mother and grandmother, were teaching him that he is to have a respect for the word of God. And brethren, respect for the word is where it has to start. Unless a person respects, unless a person believes the scripture, unless a person respects the fact that it is from God, forget the rest of it. Because it won't take. Now look what he says in verse 15. He says, the holy scripture. That's the NIV reading. The scripture. Now, the scripture here is the Old Testament scripture. Because at this point, the New Testament hasn't been written yet. The only written scripture there was to teach was the Old Testament. You know what that meant? For every parent, that meant Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. That's what that meant. Where Moses addressed Israel by saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. And you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. Then you know what Moses said? He says, and these are commandments that you are to teach your children. You are to bind these commandments on them. And when they sit up in the morning, teach that to them. And when they're walking along the way, you teach that to them. And when they lay down at night, you teach that to them. And you go out there and put it on the gate of your door. And you go out there and put it on the front door of the doorpost of your house when they walk in. Listen, every Jewish parent taught their child the scripture, and they went to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Listen to me. Here's the point. The point is that Eunice and Lois had a respect for the scripture, and they taught Timothy respect for the scripture, but I don't care who you are, you can't teach what you don't know. You can't teach what you don't know. And everybody here, from the youngest to the oldest, we got to have a respect for the scripture. This is not ink on paper. This is God's word, and it's alive. They had a respect for the scripture. Number two. The second thing that Lois and Eunice did that had such an impression on Timothy is that Lois and Eunice instilled in Timothy faith. They instilled in him faith. Now, turn back one page, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's look at the verse 5, the verse we looked at this morning, verse 5 again. Now listen to what Paul tells him. He said, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which was first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. Listen, they instilled in Timothy faith. Now understand something about faith. Faith is not hereditary. If your mother and father were people of faith, that doesn't mean you're going to be born with faith. It's not hereditary. Listen, faith has to be taught. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the word of God. So faith is taught in the word of God. But faith not only has to be taught, it has to be learned. Just because somebody's teaching doesn't mean anybody's listening or learning. Ask any teacher that. Faith has to be taught. Faith has to be learned. But then it has to be demonstrated. Now let me show you something. Quickly, turn to Mark chapter 2. Let me show you something. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus is in a home. And there's just a mass of people who have come to this home where he's at. The home is packed with people. People are out in the yard. They're surrounding the house. This place is packed. And in this huge crowd of people where Jesus is in this house, there are four guys who are carrying a friend of theirs on a bed who is paralyzed. And these guys, because of the crowd, they can't get their friend to where Jesus is. But these guys believe. These guys have faith. If we can get our friend to Jesus, Jesus can help our friend. So these guys come up with this great initiative. We're not going to go through the front door. We can't get through the front door. We're going to go up on the roof. We're going to knock a hole in the roof. And we're going to lower our friend down to Jesus. Now, that's the context. Watch what Jesus says about them. Mark chapter 2 and verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, what did Jesus do? He saw their faith. Now, wait a minute. Ooh, what color is faith? What shape is it? What does it look like? He saw their faith. What did he see? He saw the demonstration of their faith. Brethren, faith has to be demonstrated. Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses. These were people who are people of faith. These were people who were justified by faith. Why? Because they demonstrated their faith. We demonstrate our faith by the way we live. Now look carefully, 2 Timothy 1 verse 5. The word we're going to focus is the word sincere. Your translation may say genuine, sincere faith, genuine faith. Focus on that one word. That word literally is translated non-hypocritical. Now listen, Lois and Eunice had a faith that was drop dead serious about Christianity. And they instilled that faith in Timothy. Brethren, faith is not going through the motion of God on Sunday and then doing what you want to. That is hypocritical faith. That's not genuine faith. They had such an impression upon them because they had a deep respect for the Bible. They had such an impression upon Timothy because they instilled in him this faith in God. Number three. Lois and Eunice had this impression on Timothy because they taught him the importance of serving. The importance of serving. Look at Acts chapter 16. We're going to close in Acts chapter 16. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. There are three qualities in those three verses about Timothy. Number one, Luke says he was a disciple. A disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, a pupil, but it's much more than that. A disciple is a learner who is striving to become like his teacher. That's what a disciple is. As disciples of Christ, we are pupils, we're students, we are learners, but we are learners who are striving to become like Jesus. That's why Paul had told him in the 2 Timothy 3 passage, continue in what you have learned from those, because you know who you learned at. That's his grandmother, that's his mother, and that's Paul, because his grandmother, his mother, and Paul were all following Christ. He was a disciple. The second thing it says about him in that passage is that he had a good reputation. The brethren spoke well of Timothy. Brethren spoke well of Timothy. You know, people weren't running around saying, well, he'll tell you he'll do so and so, but he don't ever get around to it. He'll tell you so and so, but you got to be careful because he won't always tell you the truth about it. One of the things that impressed Paul is that Paul is like, you know what, everybody I talk to about him is the same deal. Timothy was a disciple. Timothy had a good reputation. Listen to me. The third quality is that Timothy served. Read the rest of the book of Acts. Timothy served. Read 1st and 2nd Timothy. Timothy served. He served. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, and again, this is this idea about I am a disciple striving to become like the teacher. The teacher said in Mark 10 and verse 45, I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus lists two qualities in that passage for his coming. He says, number one, I'm here to serve, and number two, I'm here to give. Too many people are looking to be served and to get from others and not to give. So here's Lois and here's Eunice. They instill in Timothy a faith. They instill in Timothy a respect for the Word of God. They instill in him a sincere, non-hypocritical faith. A faith that doesn't just talk the talk and walks the walk. And they instilled in him this desire to serve others. Please understand, this grandmother and mother isn't just an example for other grandmothers and mothers. They're an example for all of us. In the nature of motherhood, there is application for all of us. How we could have a greater impression on people if we went to them in the kindness that a mother deals with her child. This is a wonderful mother and a wonderful grandmother who sets an example for all of us. This afternoon, if you're here in this assembly and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel of Christ. If you're here, if you're away from God, if you're here, if you need to publicly respond, we have this invitation, and it's open for you right now as together we stand.